Grace and peace to you today. Our text is from really all three readings of Scripture that are appointed for this day. In our first reading, as we've just sung, we see the kingdom of God portrayed as a flock, fed together, as the Christians met together shortly after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. They are described as being devoted to their feed, to the food that God provided. It says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And the apostles taught nothing but what Christ had taught to them. They were not the inventors of a new religion. Rather, they simply communicated what Christ had taught them. And they were also devoted to the sacraments that Christ instituted. We read they devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread, just as we do here in the church. They, as a flock, lived together. It says that they shared their possessions. And the difference between what we see here in Acts chapter 2 in the early church and communism is that no one forced them to sell their property and things in order to care for each other. It was both the love of God for them, and that spilling out in their lives and loving other people the way God loved them, and their understanding that the time was short and the real mission was not to gather up possessions to care for themselves, but to share their possessions in helping each other. And finally, as a flock, we see them devoted to praying together, but not just any prayer. It says, and I like this new translation of the Bible because it gets it right, they devoted themselves to the prayers. What prayers might the early Christians know in common? Well, certainly the prayer that our Lord taught. As we continue after two millennium to pray that each time we gather, the Lord's Prayer. And probably also the Psalms, the 150 prayers of the Old Testament. It is true, not only in the early church, but today, that each congregation, each gathering of Christians is a flock. And they must have also, as a flock, a true shepherd. And you can know what a true shepherd is. You must know the true shepherd. Now, all shepherds may look alike. We see them on television, and we see great crowds following them, preaching with great authority and persuasiveness. We see different flocks and different shepherds in every community as congregations are formed and gathered and grow. But you can know, and you should know, a good shepherd, a true shepherd, by what he does. And today we understand a true shepherd doing two things. A true shepherd brings truth, the truth about you, and the true shepherd brings truth, the truth about Jesus. First of all, the truth about you. The true shepherd of God will teach you that you are wayward sheep. Don't expect a true shepherd to pat you on the back and say, "Good job, sheep, you're keeping right up with the flock." Shepherds are herders. Shepherds gather flocks together. Shepherds like to keep their flocks together. That's what they're there to do. And the unfortunate thing is that sheep, especially modern-day sheep, don't like to think and don't like to be told that they are straying. I mean, you particularly like it when someone tells you that you're doing something wrong and you're out of sync with God's plan for you. That's not a pleasant thing to hear, especially when it's about you. What's a little more fun is when you hear it going on between a shepherd and some other sheep, right? Now get in here, sheep. And you say, "Attaboy, shepherd. You tell them. Come back here." But the scriptures tell us that we are wayward. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 6, the Lord says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. You have to think of yourself, painful as it is, as a wayward sheep, in order to know the true shepherd. Otherwise, you don't think that you need a shepherd. Life's going along fine, I'm on the right track. Why ask the shepherd anything? Why even listen? I'm in my flock. I'm doing fine. Our epistle for today from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 reads, "For you were once straying like sheep, but you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now, straying is another word for sin. And sin is rebellion against God. I know a mother who had a straying little child one time. They were at an athletic event at the university, and they were sitting in the stands with their friends, and they told the children, "Stay here. We're going down to go to the restroom." And the children were 3 or 4 years old. Well, when the mother came back just a couple of minutes later, and she went to the stands to where her family was seated, the child was not there. Now, can you imagine what goes on? I'm sure you can, in a parent's mind and in their heart when they look at that young child gone and a great crowd of people. Where do you begin to look? What have I done? Where is my little lamb? There's all kinds of panic and anger that takes over. Well, that waywardness, that wandering off, is sin. And sin is a serious departure from God's path for your life. Now, thank goodness in that case, the child had followed the parents down to the restroom, and as soon as they turned around and went back down there the child was coming back. But people today are not always so compliant. Sometimes they don't want to be found. A lot of people today want to be considered Christians because that's a good thing, but don't necessarily want to follow Jesus as their shepherd in every instance. For example, young people today so often want to have a church wedding, and they like all that, but from many cases, they choose simply to devalue marriage by entering into it, by living together without God uniting them first. Now, from their point of view, this seems good and well. They choose each other, and they are adults. But what they fail to do is consider from God's point of view. God looks down, and perhaps he says in his heart, "They say they want to follow me, but where have they gone? They will not even follow my simplest instruction for the family." The truth is, we wander, each and every one of us. We are wayward sheep, and the true shepherd will tell us that. Another thing that the true shepherd will tell us is that we are oppressed by sin. We cannot free ourselves. No amount of sacrifice, obedience, or good intentions will lighten our load of sin that oppresses us, no matter how hard we try. We can easily carry one brick, for instance, if you carry a brick around. You can carry one, maybe two, one in each hand. But try to carry 100 bricks at once. You cannot do that. Picture yourself doing that and think of this. If sin is the equivalent of a brick, how many bricks can you carry? The truth is, sin is much greater and much more heavy and serious a load than a brick. We are oppressed by our sin. And the second, or the rather third thing that a true shepherd will tell you is that you, apart from Christ, are a lost sheep. We are unable to find our way in this world. Now, this is springtime, even though it's snowing this morning. But springtime is a time of great hope and beauty, and people look to nature and they get all inspired. And we see young people, you know, kind of finding each other, and new couples form on campuses. Springtime lets us think of the beauty in nature, but nature, however, points us to the one who designed and made the world and the power of God. But nature does not necessarily point us to what we really need from God, and that is his mercy. Nature is a tough place. You look out there and the animals, you know, the animals that live in the wild have all kinds of defenses. The deer have their ears and their legs because they have to get away from those that try to eat them. And animals struggle. Only in Scripture do we find a way back to a loving God. Everywhere else we see death and destruction. Truly, all have gone astray like wandering sheep. And the true shepherd points out these things. The true shepherd will point out that we are lost, that we are oppressed by sin, and yes, that we are wayward sheep. But the good news is that that's not all a true shepherd has to say. A true shepherd also points out the way to Jesus, the good shepherd. In our gospel today, Jesus said that he is the gate for the sheep, and that anyone enters in a different way rather than through his gate is not a true shepherd, but a thief and a robber. Jesus is the only way into God's sheep pen. Now, you probably heard some controversy lately about Oprah Winfrey's show lately. It seems that she has put forth the idea that Jesus is not the only way into God's sheep pen. And it's hard for people to agree with that and also agree with his own words. In our text today, he speaks about being that only gate, that only way in. And a little later on in the Gospel of John, he speaks about being the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. It's hard to put that together and say, oh, I believe in Jesus as our God and my Savior when he said these things, but I don't necessarily believe that he is the only God and the only Savior. Other people can have other gods that are just as legitimate. It just doesn't make sense and doesn't agree with the own words of Christ. Jesus said, yes, that he is the only gate or door to the God's sheep pen. And we have to watch out, because if someone would climb in a different way, not go through Christ, but want to lead us, we've got to watch out for them. As he said, they are really thieves and robbers. Now, coming in through the gate is more than just mentioning the name of Jesus. Oh, by the way, I'm your shepherd, and Jesus sent me. There's a little more than goes along with it to authenticate one's credentials. Jesus knew this. He said, many will come in my name saying that I am he, but don't listen to them. He wants us to be discriminating sheep in who we follow. Opening the gate is proclaiming Jesus as God's son, yes, but a son crucified for sinners, for us. And no one really starts out wanting to follow a crucifixion victim, do they? Until they know what he accomplished by being crucified. But Jesus' crucifixion was one of a blood atonement. Now, that in itself is an alien concept to most people. But as we hear the scriptures and read the Bible, we see that throughout the Old Testament, God was talking about a blood atonement. That is the guideline that he laid down. That is what all people needed. And when Jesus shed his blood for you, he took your punishment and gave you his atonement, his covering. You don't have to die. That has been done for you, for your sins. Jesus, then, is a gate, but he is a bloody gate, a gate of blood and death. And so we see that Jesus says the gate is not a fancy gate, not the kind of gate that people gingerly run up to and say, this is the kind of gate I'm looking for to the sheep pen. He also says that he is a narrow gate, not a wide gate. In other words, you can't judge a gate by its size. A narrow gate may lead to some place you don't want to be, but it also may lead to a very nice place that not a lot of people know about. And a big, wide, golden, wonderful gate might lead to a nice place, or it might lead to a place you don't want to be, as many people are crowding in because they think it's going to be nice. No, Jesus gate is a narrow gate, but he makes his promises about himself, of what he will bring to us, which is good. And there is one gate, not many gates, that lead to that place that God is calling. Jesus said to watch out for the false shepherds, to be on your toes, and there are many. You cannot trust everyone who goes around wearing a collar and wearing church robes. You cannot go around trusting everyone who speaks in the name of Christ. Not everyone with hundreds or millions following them is ultimately pointing people to Christ, the true shepherd, the true gate. They might be thieves and robbers using his name, as Jesus says, for their own purposes. And notice when he says when they use his name for their own purposes, he says what they bring, death and destruction. So you are supposed to follow the good shepherd, the true shepherd, and you are supposed to know the difference between a good shepherd and a false shepherd. How do we do that? Very simple. You hear the voice of Jesus through that shepherd, and you follow it. In other words, you judge the teaching that you hear. You judge the commands that you are given. How do you know what to judge them by? How do you know if they're right or wrong? You become your own expert in the Holy Scripture. You compare it to what God has written through the apostles, through that word that those disciples devoted themselves to, that apostles' teaching recorded in Holy Scriptures. First, learn the Scriptures. What a blessing it is to see about 30 children up here this morning because their parents love them enough to bring them to the flock to hear the Word of God. What a blessing to know that here in a few minutes we'll have classes for all kinds of children, any child that wants to come, for all ages, to teach them the voice of the Good Shepherd. What a blessing that this congregation some 20-some years ago decided it was not enough just to do this on Sunday, but took that extreme but blessed step to begin a Lutheran day school here so that children could hear this each day as they learn their reading, writing, and arithmetic. First, learn the Scriptures, and it is best to do that when you are young and have the time and the mental ability to gain, but it's never too late. Back to that first reading we go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I'd like to leave you this morning with a picture, a mental picture story. And it's simply what you're doing right here today. God has gathered you together, not as a rabble, not just as a family either, but he says that you are a flock, an image of gathered sheep. The voice of your shepherd has called you, and you have come here. You have wandered in the world. You have followed your own desires and your own purposes. But now you have been gathered together. And he has put grass, good grass, here in our sheep pen for us to eat. It is his holy word. It is what we are devoted to. And that thing that God's word points to, which we have the symbol of at all times before us, the cross of Christ, the crucified one, who laid down his life for his sheep. But also it is important for us to remember that there are other sheep wandering out there, and part of our task is to encourage them, to call to them, to baa to them, if you will, and invite them to join us in this good pasture. Yes, we are to stay on guard lest a false shepherd would come in, climb over the wall, and try to take over. But no matter what, we are to stay with Christ, with Jesus, our good shepherd. For he makes this promise, not only will I watch over you in this life, but you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May we go this day with that mental image of that blessed flock that God has called us to. Yes, St. John Church, but also the Holy Christian Church on earth and the communion of saints, all those who have gone before us and are in that eternal pasture with our Lord. Let us keep the faith. Let us hear the voice of our Good Shepherd as he calls to us through his servants, preaching and teaching and absolving us. And let us feed upon him, Christ, the Lamb of God, in that breaking of the bread when he calls us. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all our understanding guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting. Amen.